Welcome to the Start Well podcast. I'm Dawn Thomas, your host. As a mother, financial advisor, and researcher, I know the importance of empowering young people on their financial journeys. Whether you're a parent, grandparent, or the coolest aunt or uncle, join me in exploring how impactful conversations about money can shape a young person's future. Let's harness their superpower of time and your superpower of influence to ensure they start well and continue to live well into the future. The information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not take into account your personal and financial objectives and situation. Before acting on any information discussed here, you should consider its appropriateness, having regard to your objectives, needs, and financial position. Today's episode of Start Well, we have a very interesting episode because it centers around money mindset. And there's no one better to discuss this topic than Karen Ely. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Hi, Dawn. Thank you for having me.
Karen, I know in this space of money mindset, you are a bit advocate of it. You're very vocal about this online as well. Do you think money mindset, that concept of it, gets enough airtime or awareness out there?
Yeah, great question, Dawn. I really don't think it is. I don't think people fully understand the impact of what our psychology around money and our mindset, the impact that it actually has on our day-to-day living and how they play out with what we think about money, how we feel about it, which then leads to the action that we take, those financial habits or patterns that we create. So, and I know as a financial advisor, I'd never even heard of it. Until 5 years ago. So I don't think there is enough awareness around one of the things that we should be checking in with is our psychology and our mindset when it comes to money.
Yes, because you've had that experience as a financial advisor and possibly that process didn't go deep enough to unblock what was stopping someone from their success. Can you kind of take us through it? Because some of our listeners might not be aware about what money mindset is.
So our money mindset is essentially the way we think about it. So we have thoughts about money, and we have thoughts about our about wealth as well, but it's not things that we're really conscious of, Dawn. So they're actually outside of our awareness, but they drive all of our patterns and behaviour. So we have this certain thinking that we created at a very early age about money, but it's kind of invisible and hidden to us. So that really is part of our mindset. And then our other part is around how we feel about money. So when we think about money, is it something that brings us joy or does it bring us stress or resentment? Or what are those emotions that come up for you when you're either dealing with your money or thinking about money? And those two together really form our mindset around money.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what we're seeing with research coming through is that money is not spoken about enough at home. But probably we suspect that when money is spoken about at home, it's true really tense energy. It's probably come to a head where maybe parents are kind of arguing over it instead of being calm. Is that sort of what your experience has been with working with people, that that's where it's come through when money is discussed?
Yeah, exactly. So that is very much what you described around the stress, money being really tight. Parents having arguments about money or not wanting to talk about it or deal with it because it is so stressful. So they're kind of the things that a child observes about money growing up. And so just like any other area in our life, we look to our primary caregivers to how to be in the world. So about our mannerisms and behaviours, about how to eat, about how to dress. Money's just one of those things. And the way that we are with money today, Dawn, as adults, was formed typically between the ages of 2 and 12 when most of our brain development happened. So what children experience in an environment around money growing up is so impactful to them as adults.
Yeah, and you are particularly passionate about young kids, right? And that's why when I said, you know, there's no one better to talk about this, is because that's a space that you are claiming. We know about money mindset in the adult space. And again, that's not even spoken about enough. But you would like to get that conversation about money mindset to younger people, particularly.
Absolutely. And the reason for that, Dawn, is when I'm helping adults, all of the challenges that they have as adults were formed as children. So I'm really nurturing the child in that adult, if that makes sense. So I'm going back to what was it like for you as a child, and really having that empathy and compassion that they didn't have growing up as a child. Like if they were upset about not being able to have the latest sneaks like their friends, and their parents just going, well, we can't afford it, just get over it. We weren't acknowledging the child's need for that or their emotions around that. And when that's not given any acknowledgement or weighting, what do you think a child takes away from that experience?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not important enough, or I shouldn't ask for things because it stresses parents out and they can't afford it. What's the point in asking for it? Because I'm not going to get it anyway. So I really want to help more parents raise financially resilient children, be the parent that they perhaps didn't have as a financial role model growing up.
Yeah, look, and that's why we're on the same page. You know, the Start Well, you know, podcast and program is about, you know, if that bit of, you know, we can't turn back time now where we are. So we're trying to make sure it's a different outcome for our kids. You've got a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old, Karen.
I do.
And the little bit that you've told me already, I'm just like, oh no, I think I've really messed my children up. when you parent your own kids, like, what are you bringing back home to help them with the money mindset discussion?
Yeah, so look, I'm definitely not at fault. I came to this work around psychology and really delving deep into it only the last 5 or so years. So I'm kind of on course correct. But I'm very now aware of some of the things that I could have done better when communicating my money to children. So some of the things that are really important now that I teach my children is around coming from a more abundant mindset, because we either come from one or the other. We come from an abundant mindset, like there's enough to go around, we have enough to have our needs met, versus that scarcity mindset. It's kind of like, well, we don't have enough for that, we can't afford that, no, you can't do that. It's like we've got to be really mindful of the language that we use with our children. So, you know, sometimes you could afford something, but it might mean selling an asset. And it's like, well, you could do it, you've got the resources to do it, but you choose not to because you have different priorities. So we need to language that in a way that our children understand. And it's about, Dawn, using teachable moments to spend time to actually explain to our children about different concepts when it comes to money. I think that's really important, about just really taking advantage of those lessons. Like, how can we have a conversation around money? Because like you said before, quite often there are no conversations. We don't even talk about it. So just bring it to the forefront as part like of education, but also understanding for them what it means to them, like how are they interpreting, because children internalize a lot of things. So how can we create a safe space for our children to feel comfortable having conversations about spending money, about saving money, about earning money?
And I had a conversation with Marion Mays that she's very passionate around the space of women and ownership and property. And she was saying that mindset, because we're talking about money mindset today, but she said it's an overall mindset piece. And what I brought to the dinner table after that interview with her was, you know, when the kids were saying, oh, I could never be good at math, you know, like they might say something like that.
Yeah.
It's that this mindset kind of thing, it goes through different areas, isn't it, Karen?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one thing for parents to be really, really mindful, because working with adults, a lot of them have this mindset that I'm not good with money because I wasn't good at maths at school. Now, they're completely non-correlated, but children with their unformed mind are just saying 2 + 2 = 5. So for those of you that are listening that have children that really struggle with the concept of maths, it's really communicating them, just because you find maths challenging, I found algebra challenging growing up as well, it doesn't mean that, you know, simple maths that we use in money and adding up and compound interest is very, very learnable. Just because you're not good at all of the mathematical concepts doesn't mean that you're not going to be good about money. It's so important, that one.
Thanks for shedding light on that, Karen, because I think there's not enough awareness on this space. So I think when we pause a little bit and we think about what those words mean, and there's a bit out there about, you know, even something like maths, maybe turning off girls in particular, with their confidence around money because they think it is related.
That's
so
right.
With money mindset, you've got two boys, but you help a lot of people who are women as well. Does money mindset also kind of differ between gender?
Yeah. So look, a lot of our money mindset is generational. So we have family conditioning. So my parents brought me up in a way that their parents brought them up, that their parents. So it's like a tribal cycle of family conditioning. So we've got that family conditioning, but then we also have societal conditioning as well. So both of those, you know, over the 60s and 70s and 80s have resulted in women learning or absorbing, you know, what are their roles when it comes to money. So they typically tend to be really good at managing the household finances and day to day. But in terms of taking that leap and looking forward about investing and some of those riskier concepts, they kind of feel like it's not their space because of that society conditioning that we've had earlier along.
Yeah, because, you know, managing the household budget, that is managing money. And I don't think we give it
totally
enough credit.
yeah, absolutely. So we have those, we definitely have those cultural biases, unfortunately, which is a shame.
So Karen, you know, you mentioned the abundance mindset before. And I was talking to one of my colleagues about this because, you know, we do like the idea of being aware of your money mindset. But the abundance mindset, can you just explain what that is to it? Is there only positive things about having an abundance mindset, or are there also negative things about an abundance mindset?
Yeah, so that is a really interesting concept. So we can have an abundant mindset in a really healthy manner.
Okay.
And so when I think about abundance, it's like there's enough to go around. I kind of think of money like there's plenty of it out there. Like we don't just wake up in the morning and go, I better not breathe in too much air today because there's not enough to go around. Like there's plenty of air to go around and there's plenty of money to go around. So one of the ways that we can be abundant and feel abundant is whatever we've got, whether it be a little or a lot, that we actually express gratitude for it. So rather than thinking about, well, I've got these things, but my neighbor's got these things, or the other kids at school have got more than I have, that's starting to step into that scarcity mindset because others have got more than me, rather than focusing on, hey, I've got this. And that's what I define as an abundant mindset. It's being really grateful for what you have and knowing that there's plenty of resources out there.
Wow. That is, I don't think it's ever been explained to me in that way before. Because if you can imagine, if you're not in this space, you hear something like have an abundant mindset. And that seems to be a good thing, but you're not really getting the definition of what that actually could apply for. And what you're saying has got a lot to do with gratitude, but it's not really got to do with the circumstance. It's not necessarily where, let's say if someone has been in a wealthy household and they've never had to experience any money challenges growing up, that's not necessarily an abundance mindset. They've just not had to experience scarcity. Is that sort of what it is?
Yeah. Well, even people growing up in a really wealthy household and there's plenty of money, quite often a lot of those come out with a scarcity mindset as well. So that might play out something like, yes, we've got lots of money, but our parents are working so hard. We have no time with them. They prioritize that. They pay us off with gifts and things like that. So that could come into a scarcity mindset, even when you've got millions of dollars of net assets. So I typically find that people that have the challenging mindsets tend to be just as many wealthy people as it is people that don't have as much financial resources. Because again, it always does come down to that mindset.
Oh, wow. It's like, do you know that it's blowing my mind, Karen, because I think the ins and outs of it is just something that has not been within my reach to understand as yet. I'm so glad that's why you're on here, so that you can, people can start their journey around mindset. So I interviewed Anna Christina for episode 3, and she wrote Kids Ain't Cheap. She started off the book, chapter 1 was about money mindset, which I applaud her for. And she told me that I was the first person that got excited about chapter 1. She said, everyone has sort of glossed over that bit. And I went, she's really talking about step 1. We say cash flow and budgeting is step 1, but really money mindset is step 1.
Yeah, that's the foundation. Because if you've got a really unhealthy foundation when it comes to mindset, you can put cash flow on, you can put shares on, you can put investing on and wealth protection. But just like a building with a dodgy foundation, it's all going to crumble at some stage. So the foundation around psychology is the most important one. Every finance book should start chapter one with money mindset and psychology of money.
Oh,
It's really
you see, we've got Karen's endorsement, you know, so that I say that is, I saw that and I just thought that's really unusual for a finance book to start that way. And I thought it was spot on because we need to work on ourselves. But also, I think people want to hear about the quick fix. They want to hear the one strategy that's going to fix everything. And sometimes people don't want to hear that something like money mindset is a hard process because you need to be really honest with yourself and really vulnerable to kind of get some answers on how to deal with that.
That's right. Yeah. Because if we think about it, if we go back to the core of that internal doing the money mindset work, if you've got some challenging patterns and behaviors when it comes to money, they've been formed from some kind of trauma or pain in your past. And then you've covered up that up with certain coping mechanisms. So when some people come to, well, money mindset, that kind of seems a bit unscary, a bit unknown, and you're having to do that internal work that you've been avoiding successfully for many years. It can be quite daunting to actually go in there and unpack that and relive kind of what was experienced growing up.
So, you know, I know this is the hard one to tell because everyone is different, right? So if we're trying to tell, okay, we've got parents or grandparents listening in and they go, okay, we're open to the money mindset concept, but realistically, how much of time do I have to invest in this to make progress? What would you say to them?
Yeah, so it's about consistency. So if a child grows up hearing that wealthy people are greedy and rich and take advantage of other people, if they hear that over and over again, or they're overhearing a conversation of their parents going, oh yeah, the people next door, it's all right for them, they've got so much money, blah, blah, blah. So if they're hearing those records in their head over and over again, that repetition year after year, yes, Dawn, it does take a little bit of time and consistency to unlearn what was learned growing up. So yeah, it's not an easy fix. It's not a one and done. It is one of those things that you just do need to work on over time. So I really encourage parents or caregivers that are listening to this, how can I help my children? Start with having an intention. What money lessons do I want my children to learn? And start there. So I want my children to learn you need to work hard for money. But then that's one way that you can be really intentional about that. Or it might be that I want my children to learn that you don't have to work hard for money. You just can be smart with it. Like I grew up learning that you need to work really hard to make money. I don't know about your children, but my 12 and 13 year old, they see these kids on YouTube making millions of dollars from posting videos. They have not grown up with the mindset you have to work hard for money. So, it really starts with what are those lessons that you want your children to take away? So, that might be something around that some debt isn't good to have. So, that might be one thing around explaining that and the reasons that you used it and don't used it. What's the sensible ways to use it and manage it? But there needs to be consistency as well. We can't be contradicting what we say and then ourselves using credit card and getting into debt and in that debt cycle, just as an example. So we want to think about what are the lessons that we want to learn. And perhaps, Dawn, it was lessons that we didn't get growing up, but we want to be different for our children.
Yes, I think quite often as well, if you move to the stage of you're kind of aware of what you didn't want growing up, but you've not really worked out how it's actually impacting you with your own limiting
Correct.
beliefs.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. So it's really about understanding your own. First, before then you can, so it's almost like parenting yourself
Yes.
and then parenting your children.
Parenting sometimes can involve two people. Of course, we understand there can be single parents or guardians looking after children. But where there's a dynamic of two people with two different money stories, two different money mindsets, and there could be clashing, because that's sort of the norm, clashing when they're talking about it. How can we effectively kind of call a truce in the household and create a safe space for each party to express maybe you know, something that makes them scared or something that is totally irrational around money, but a safe space enough to actually generate that conversation?
Yeah, it's a really important point, Dawn, because as I said, children are looking to the adults in their life to model. And so it's very confusing for a child when they've got two role models that are doing different things. One's a saver, one's a spender. It creates a lot of conflict and confusion for the child. So, for the sake of your children, it's really important, even if you don't do it outside their ears or eyes. But it's really important that you are on the same page when it comes to messaging around your children. And quite often, I think, like every money conversation, Dawn, is a values conversation. So it's about having conversation as a family, and you can include your children in these conversations. As a family, what are our core values? What are the things that are really important to us? Is it quality time together? Is it going on holidays? Is it eating healthy or being active and exercise? Is it learning that we value? So you start with those values, and it's like, how can we experience those values? And how can we allocate money to those values? Or if there isn't the money to allocate, how can we experience those values that doesn't have financial consequences? So it could be going to the library and borrowing books rather than buying them. It might be going to the park and having a picnic rather than going out for dinners. So there's always ways. So it is vitally, vitally important for to raise financially resilient and healthy children that the caregivers and the role models are on the same page when it comes to money messaging.
Oh, Karen, I'm getting so much out of this that I feel that tonight when I see my kids trying to undo, I feel that even though I've been trying to be on this journey to be more mindful, I can see where my language and maybe how I've explained things is kind of quite short and not really explaining to them in their little minds what my intentions are for them to have. So I think maybe sometimes it's a gap between our intentions for them to have a good relationship with money versus what we can do after a long day of work and we're really tired and we come back and, you know, like the dishwasher hasn't been emptied and there's dirty clothes on the floor.
Oh yeah, we're living the dream, Dawn. We're really yeah, so and I try and like if I have those days and I come home and I've got no energy left, I will kind of avoid having those conversations. And I'll explain it to say, hey kids, this is a really important conversation and thank you for asking the question or bringing this up, but and I really value it, but now's not a really good time. Could we perhaps talk about this tomorrow or on the weekend? And I really want to dedicate time to that because it's really important for me and I know how important it is to you. So really validating that what is important to our children is also important to us. We don't want them to walk away going, well, we don't matter. What we doesn't matter.
Wow. Okay. I just feel like I have a lot of homework myself to do, but you know, I'm hoping our listeners, you know, they're taking this on board as not as an intimidating thing because it seems like it's impossible to do in an everyday, but what you're saying that look, you're working within your means. You're not expected to be totally positive every day when you come home. It's just saying that can I just park this topic for a time where we can have it in the manner that does it justice? And also the frame of mind where the right energy can actually meet that topic as
Yeah,
well.
energy is really important because children, because they don't have the full brain functioning and capacity of an adult, a lot of the way that they absorb and experience and unpack is emotion and it's energy. So we've got to be really mindful of the energy that we have in the house, because that does impact them quite significantly. So we want to come to these conversations with energy and a really positive intention for the outcome around that. And another thing that I do to kind of like just ease the load a little bit is just have really inspiring messages around. So we've got things on the fridge, we've got goals on the fridge around these are things we want to do. We gamify it, we've got coloring in things around when we reach our financial goals. So we can have these other strategies and things in our environment that help kind of carry the load when we're just not in that space to carry it ourselves every day.
Fantastic suggestion. I think, yes, that visual aspect and keeping it around and keeping it positive in front of mind probably will also increase the likelihood of getting to those goals. So,
Yeah, that engagement as well. And it's kind of like, let's see money as a fun thing because when we can be stressed out about it and we're budgeting or we come home from work and they might say, well, oh, mum or dad's really tired, like they work so hard, like making money doesn't seem like a great thing to do when your company's so exhausted. So we want to be really mindful of, like, yeah, what's internalized for them around what they see from us.
So your student, okay. So Karen, if I'm, let's say, I'm going around the house and I'm getting annoyed that all these lights are turned on and no one's in the room and the fan is on. And, you know, for me, I'm just like, oh, this is going to lead to a higher electricity bill, which makes me unhappy. And I start nagging at the kids in a manner, of course, that is not in a positive manner.
Yeah.
How else can I approach it with them where it's the right energy, but it could be, you know, a good way for them to actually respond to the messaging?
Yeah, firstly, Dawn, I want to acknowledge, like, that experience, because I have the exact same one myself. Fans are on, lights are on, they haven't been in the room for hours. So, yeah, I totally get it. And my instant reaction, and it was years ago, was it was literally my mum's voice coming out my mouth, turn them off, you're wasting electricity. Like, do you think they're made of money? And I'm just going to zip it and go, no, that was not the best messaging. So I'll take a deep breath. And I'm going to respond rather than react. And I quite often just go and switch it off myself while I'm angry or annoyed, and I'll give it some space. And then I might bring up at dinner or sometime downstairs and just say, hey, I noticed you left the light on again. Just want to explain there are consequences to that. Like, we have a pot of money and we've got enough money to meet all of our essential things. But when we're using that money for electricity, that's going to cost us money. That money could then be better used for other things. So if we're really efficient with our energy, what are some other things that we could spend that savings on? And we've got to kind of bring it back and put ownership to them. It's like, okay, if we can all be really diligent about saving energy, rather than using the dryer, if it's a nice sunny day, go put the clothes on the clothesline. And then when we've got that extra money, what are some fun things we can do with that? So kind of like give them an incentive, without kind of like hitting my, over the head, like I want to do most days.
Yes. So I will see whether I can stick to that today when they get home. I think they might look at me initially, Karen, and go, are you sure you're our mother? Because
what have you done with our mom?
Yes. And it sounds as well like, you know, I've come from that Asian background, and, you know, money was a focus of a lot of things. It was just, you know, either can understand why with that mindset of you need to have money to be successful and be safe. You know, it represents safe security and for generational wealth. But the way that I observed it was that, you know, you don't pursue your passions. It's either you pursue your passion and you're poor, or you know, you do the responsible thing and pursue money. It's only later on in life that I realized that was not true, but it's something that was drilled in society-wise. Yeah. You know, like, I've got friends who will tell me that they're in very successful jobs, but they will not say that they're actually passionate about their jobs, because for them, the primary role of a job was just to give them money, because that would give them all the other stuff that they needed.
How do we
unprogram that sort of stuff? Because culturally as well, I suppose that's a big influence on money mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the best place to start is in our own home. So, like, my children know how much I love my job. I love being a financial advisor. I just love this more. And I kind of say to them out loud, like, so lucky and grateful that I get to go to work every day and do something that I love. And that's what I want for you too. Like, I want you, and like, as you're growing up, it's really important that you love what you do, and the money will come. Like, you create value and you'll get value back. So it's about starting by creating those messages at home, is to start with, I think, is really good. But I agree with you, Dawn. I see so many people, and I've worked with a lot of adults, that they kind of fit in this financial cage. So they've taken on the nice house and the car, but they've got a job that is just soulless and they really don't like. And there comes a point in time where their soul will wake up and they'll be like, why am I doing this? Like, this is someone else's life. It's not my life. So because we disconnect, like, when we're told growing up that we need to do this, or in order to be successful, you need to look like this, you need to do this, you need to act this certain way, we become conditioned to it. And it is a hard challenge to break, because our brain is hardwired to keep us safe and watch out for fears and dangers. And its definition of fears and dangers is uncertainty. So our brain wants to keep us in what's familiar, what are we used to, because that's our comfort zone. And that's the challenge about having the courage to break out of that comfort zone. And we want to give our children that courage and confidence to make those decisions too.
Yeah, and Karen, you talked about trauma. You've mentioned it before. And you said that can be, you know, big trauma or small trauma. And that can sort of even be something that's happening, you said, from the age of two. Is that right? That
Between 2 and 12. So it doesn't take long for children to understand this concept of money. So we can have significant financial traumas growing up. So for me, when I was 5 years old, my parents separated. So it was a huge financial trauma. My mum was in a lot of stress. We didn't have a lot of money. That was a big trauma. It was very noticeable. Some other traumas that I've seen through working with clients might be one was a child swallowed a 20-cent coin, and her mom was freaking out, going, "It's so dangerous, like you could die, money's dirty, it's got germs," like really freaked out. And so this poor woman in her 40s that I'm working with, she had this like massive fear around money. Like she was like, "I don't want to deal with it. I'm just so scared of money." She had no idea what that fear came from until we unpacked and went through her own childhood and money story to work out that, oh, that's what happened to her growing up. So we can have these big traumas that are really noticeable. And you know, I always remember my parents divorcing because that's kind of how life changed. But for a child that swallowed a coin and then kind of grows up and forgets about it, it's outside their awareness. And so they're the ones that are harder to change, because until you actually identify, well, what is it that's made me this way, that money is like a really challenging thing for me, or I find a lot of resentment or jealousy, or what are those feelings that I have around money? I don't want to earn it, or I'm super vigilant and I'm counting it every day. Those patterns that you developed were typically formed from a trauma at a younger age, and it's about going through and really thinking, reflecting on what were the biggest three money memories that I had, and sitting with that for a while. And as adults and caregivers, we want to be able to identify, you know, when something might actually be one of those traumas for our children, and being there for them. So the child feels like that they're supported and that they're acknowledged and that everything's going to be okay and that they are actually safe.
Yes, and Karen, with kids and having this positive relationship, should they be starting off their day with positive affirmations about money? Is that a thing that kids could do or should do?
Yeah, I think there's no harm in that. Like, they're hearing stuff. They're getting messages about money anyway, whether it's through their friends at school, through the canteen. Everyone else has got canteen money and I don't. That's a big one that I hear as memories growing up. Like, I was poor, we didn't get lunch money. And there's lots of other messages that your children are absorbing anyway. So why don't we be proactive and actually install some positive, healthy messages, because they're going to get them anyway. So let's take some ownership over that and make sure that they're positive ones.
Karen, you have been absolutely amazing. And I'm sure people listening in would want to continue this sort of money mindset journey with you, and also look at other resources. Are there resources that you would recommend for people to maybe continue their journey with, so they could maybe, you know, read more, listen to, things like that?
Yeah, I think there's some really great books out there on psychology of money. So we could put a list in the show notes around those. There's some really great books. There's some podcasts as well that really delve into the money mindset. But one of the best things you can do is invest some time just sitting and journaling and reflecting on your own money story, because as a grandparent, a caregiver, a parent, you are imprinting your children around you, whether you know it or not. And so you want to check in with your own first. So just going through and doing that. You can also, there's some really great quiz or personality assessment tools that you can take to learn more about. There are 8 different money types. So there's an online quiz that you can take to understand, well, what are my money types? Because each money type has strengths and challenges, and understanding what your particular money type is, or the way that you are with money, can be really helpful. It's kind of like a teacher that you can kind of learn from and start, all right, these are the lessons that I need to learn myself, so then I can teach them and live them for my children.
Fantastic, Karen. And lastly, as well, before we go, you do work with people who have kind of tough money mindsets that they are trying to push forward, typically who are the people that kind of engage with working with you, and what kind of help are they after?
So typically I work with people in their 30s to up to 50s. Sometimes it's just the individual person. Sometimes it's a couple. I do lots of work with couples because, you know, one of the biggest causes of divorce and separation is money. So I do a lot of work. It's kind of like a combination of couples therapy and financial planning, kind of. We kind of like emerge in the middle there. So I do a lot of work with couples because, you know, for those listening that do have children, they're watching, they're listening, they're absorbing. So if you have challenges in your own relationship, starting there can be a really good space for yourself as well.
Yeah, and that's fantastic advice. I think a number of us can identify a bit with that struggle when you've got two different personalities, two different upbringings. Sometimes when you're tired in the day, it's difficult to see eye to eye about these things. But definitely from talking to you, I'm going to be a lot more mindful about the energy and language that I'm bringing into the household. And
they're
you know,
the biggest ones.
Yes,
they're the and, biggest. Yeah.
And as well, I'm looking forward to, you know, more of you know, the content you'll be releasing as well, Karen. So listeners, you can find Karen. You know, I'm linked up to Karen on LinkedIn. That's primarily how I access knowing what Karen's up to, but she's also on Instagram, and you will find her on various podcasts and also contributing to different interviews on the subject matter as well.
Yes, thanks, Dawn.
Thank you so much for coming on the Start Well podcast, Karen.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
In the spirit of reconciliation, I acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connection to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Start Well and investing in the financial empowerment of young people. Please refer to the show notes for resources and links discussed in this episode. Subscribe now to get notified of the latest episodes as they drop weekly. And visit us on the Wealth Designers Start Well page for further resources to continue your knowledge journey.